We are back. Davin's in final portion of the show. Thank you guys for doing the hang with us on that last break. The first song you heard was Pretty Gritty, A Thousand Miles From Nowhere. And after that was Marigold Kingray, Fall in Love. You can learn more about those two artists on deucemusic.com. Deucemusic.com, Pretty Gritty, and Marigold Kingray. Well, we've had a lot of fun tonight, guys.
Yeah.
It's certainly been a raucous show.
Most certainly has.
But, you know, sometimes we got to, you know, do a little bit more serious stuff. So we're going to do that now. This next gentleman will be joining me. His name is Peter Cercelli. His father, Al. Oh, I want to say about six, seven years ago now. He fell for a romance scammer, mm-hmm. something that we deal with, unfortunately, quite a bit.
Yeah.
The romance scammer was using a picture of Juliana Avalos. The scammer was in Africa, and they had, I want to say, about an eight-month relationship. Mm-hmm. During that course of 8 months, Peter's father sent approximately $60,000, overseas, putting the family in a financial hole, and we've heard that story a million times.
Yeah,
before.
So many times.
It's heartbreaking. Unfortunately, you know, these things, unfortunately, they don't end well. This one ended worse than a lot of them. Mm. The scammer gave the story that we often hear: send me some money for the visa, and I will come to meet you in the United States. We've heard that, or whatever country you happen to be from. We've heard that before. But unfortunately, Al, it was a little too much. That might have been the culmination of things, and we'll get into that. But it was too much for him to take, and unfortunately, he took his life. He killed himself, and this was in the headlines. It was covered on local news. I remember the local ABC affiliate mm-hmm. had it, and in 2020 did something with it. So it was in the news, and Peter, hello, Peter. Welcome to the show.
How are we doing?
Good.
We're doing well. Peter wanted to talk with us. He saw all the stuff that we've done with Avalos. Over the years. Are we the Avalos Authority?
I would say so.
I would say so as well.
What a tag that is. What an accomplishment that is.
You're Avalos Authority.
So Peter discovered us online, and he reached out, and we got to talking. And Peter felt that there were certain aspects of his father's story, his father's side of things, that were not covered for whatever the reason may be.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to get that out there. He also had some experiences with the media, some positive, not some positive, that he wanted to discuss. And then I asked him, he met Avalos, so I asked him what that was like. So Peter and I, we were talking online, and then I went to his place last week, and now Peter was kind enough to join us. So I think the first thing I want to do, Peter, as a tribute to your father, and one of the main reasons you're here, is tell us a little bit about Al Cercelli while you were growing up. Tell us about the man he was.
Well, you know, he was a self-made man. He always owned his own businesses. He took care of his family really well. Gave us anything we wanted in life as growing up, as kids. And, you know, basically it was all about his family. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better father.
He was very involved with the family.
Absolutely.
Now, I remember you telling me that you felt he was very street smart. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
The reason I bring that up, and there's a method to this, because a lot of times when people hear, oh, somebody was scammed, what are they, a maroon? What are they, dumb? And we've learned that it can be highly educated people. They can be street smart people, mm-hmm. like your father.
Yes.
The thing that scammers have is the element of surprise. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't know about this, if you're naive to it, for lack of a better word, you can't imagine somebody would do this. And unfortunately, I found that when you are highly educated or you are street smart, you feel like it can't happen to you. And we've discovered this on the other end when we scam the scammers. Mm-hmm. Because they think they're so smart that they can't imagine somebody would do this to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, in a lot of ways, being educated or street smart, it's just not a defense for this type of thing. And I think, you know, that might have happened with your dad. I know you thought, well, maybe he had a long game to this, and maybe he was going to get something out of this. I have an idea what he wanted to get out of this, but you know.
I think there were a few things.
Yeah.
There were a few things in his mind.
I'm sure there were, but, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work out well for him. So before your father got involved with the scammer, you told me there was an event in your family that changed him, sent him into a deep depression. Can you share, in your words, with the audience what that event was?
Well, in 2004, We lost my brother. He was shot and killed.
Oh, that's awful.
And it was a really big hit on the family. He was the junior to my father and my older brother. And, you know, when we lost him, my father took it really, really hard. It was a very difficult time.
And I think that's another element, that a lot of times these scammers, remember, this is their profession. They have a way of picking on people when they're vulnerable.
Right.
So, I mean, if you can just imagine, you lose your kid, your namesake, named after you, you know, in a tragic way. I don't know if you ever recover from something like that, and I certainly don't know the time frame. But, you know, unfortunately, that's perfect for a scammer, because what do? Scammers tell the person everything they want to hear.
Yes.
They put you on a pedestal. They make you feel like you're the most important. And if you're in a bad place, emotionally or mentally or financially, whatever the case is, if you're in a bad place, that's everything anybody wants to hear.
If you feel like you're in a place where you can't share, like this is a whole family trauma, and so probably everyone was wrecked, and maybe he didn't want to share his feelings with other people and burden them when they were already grieving themselves. Mm-hmm. So here's this person that's an outside party that will listen.
Was your dad a proud man?
My father was a very proud man. But, you know, I when it first happened, you know, is a lot of anger. You know, and you go through these rages of anger, and then you look for a way out, you know. And one of his way out, unfortunately, was to sedate himself. And that... over time and years, 7 years down the road, my father became really disconnected with life, and he just didn't want to move forward anymore. And I think he was looking for something to help him move forward in life, and I think that's what he thought he can get out of this person who he thought he met online.
Well, I mean, just from speaking from personal experience, although I never was scammed by a scammer. We had a scammer on our show, Belinda, who I talked to for a very long time as we were scamming her. And she was a highlight of my day. Not the highlight. But, I mean, so I wasn't even romantically involved with her, but I looked forward to talking to this person. So you know, now you imagine, well, if you're emotionally involved in it, I mean, now you have your life, you've been in a fog for the past 8 years, and now there's this beacon of light on your computer screen. And you look forward to talking. And again, your father's probably going in there with pure intentions. But this scammer has nothing on their mind but to work, in this case, your dad. This is their job.
Right. Now, was your dad divorced or widowed? Or?
My parents been separated for a very mm-hmm. long time. And, you know, they had nothing to do with each
gotcha,
other.
Gotcha.
You know.
So your father got involved with the scammer for about 8 months. I think we figured it out going through the paperwork. It was about 8 months. At any point, were you aware during this 8 months that he was in this online relationship?
Absolutely not. I had no idea the whole time that this was going on. The only time we actually found out was after he did what he did, and we went in the house and found evidence of what was going on.
See, now this is another thing. Now, I don't know the circumstances behind this, but what scammers do is they try to isolate their victim. So I don't know if Aisha, as she was going by, was purposely making so your dad wouldn't, like, don't tell anybody about this. Like, we tried to get the transcripts, but it's from an account that was deactivated by Yahoo if you don't use it for a certain amount of time. So they deactivate it. So I don't know what was going on, but it's very common for the victim of a romance scam, or any scam, actually, to be isolated.
Sure.
So, you know, your dad might have had intentions of telling you. Or he might not. There's just no way for us to know. But the fact that he was isolated, you know, it played into the scammer's hand. And, you know, like when you're in it, you don't realize it. You don't there's no way. Once you're immersed, you don't realize what's going on.
And a lot of times, if you want something, we've spoken about this before, but if you want something badly enough, you might see red flags, but you tend to, like, push them aside because even if you bring them up with a scammer, they can talk you out of it. You know, but, I mean, not just necessarily with scammers, just, like, even an abusive relationship, if you might, there might be a little rumbling in your head or your gut saying something's not right. But when you're isolated from your friends that you could bounce it off of, I mean, if you went to
they'll give you, like,
friends,
that. They won't
go,
understand.
What?
Well, the scammer will say, or the abusive person will go, they don't understand. They don't know how much I love you. They're going to try to break us up.
Right. And you'll say, no, of course, no, they won't.
And the person, whether it's an abuse victim or a scam victim, they mm-hmm. don't want to lose what they have. It's all part of, it's psychological warfare.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, was it normal for your dad to keep his love interest quiet from you and the rest of the family?
In that aspect, we all did our own thing. I'm a single man. I don't go around telling my mother or my father or even my brother who I was dating when I was dating somebody. We just all lived our lives and did our own thing, and you know, so it wasn't a common thing for us to have a conversation, and especially after my brother had passed, me and my father. We hardly ever had conversations about our private lives.
So there was no red flag that, you know, dad suddenly become a recluse in that regard. It was just the way everybody was.
Right, right.
Okay. So he meets Aisha on singles.net, which became part of Match.com in March 2014. Match bought them, Match.com. Were you aware that your dad was on these online dating sites, or was this one of the things you just didn't discuss?
No, I had no idea. My father had no reason to be on a dating site. You know, my father was a very active man. He from my point of view, my father had many women in his life. You know, being a single, middle-aged man, he lived his life very well.
Mm-hmm. So there was almost no need for him to go, at least from where you were sitting, from what you were looking at. There would be no need for him to do this because he could have physical contact with a real human being in his neighborhood or whatever the case may be.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you think, I don't know how you would even know this, but do you think your dad, being the street smart guy that he was, could have had any idea what the dangers were on these sites?
This is 7 years ago now. So, I don't think the technology, back then to be on a dating site, you thought it was real. You know, but today, if you were to be on a dating site, you would try and research these people, Google them.
You would think, but people are still getting scammed every day. And that's part of what we do here. That's part of what this is. One of the aspects of this is the education to go through the process. But a lot of people don't realize. 7 years ago or today, they don't realize. And some of the dating sites do a good job of warning, but nobody thinks it can happen to them.
Right, but I mean, the fact that we're putting it into the history, the context of the time.
Right.
Particularly, there weren't really a lot of people talking about this or aware that this was.
Well, they might have been talking about it, but certainly, let's put it this way. If you did not know about it or were paying attention to it, you might see it on the evening news, but it was just something, look at that Rube over there. You know, it doesn't.
And it would be a small 3-minute story. They wouldn't spend an exorbitant amount of time on it, so you're not something that would be that outstanding.
Well, I mean, this wasn't something that entered our world until the scammer tried to scam me.
Right.
And then just being me having the personality I have, being somewhat cynical in some of these things and researching, we learned. But we didn't know what this was, and I wasn't looking for love.
Right.
As we've often said, you know, if I had been in a different place in my life, who knows how I would have reacted. Now, the bad English and the lies I probably would have caught on to, but, you know, who knows?
But there were some points with Belinda that you were actually drawn in.
Yeah, well, she was very good.
See?
Leave my Belinda out of this.
Exactly.
My dear Belinda.
That's my point, yes.
She gave us a lot of good radio. A little respect, sir. A little respect.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing, is that although it became a huge cottage industry in Africa and all over the world, and so, you know, they pretty much got their technique down. Mm-hmm. I mean, each one has their own individual flair.
Well, these have been
so
going on
not,
for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It used to be by fax. But, you know.
Right, right. But now but this particular way of doing it, mm-hmm. this, you know, the internet and doing it on the dating websites, it's like as long as, you know, now over these years, they've sort of perfected their technique, but they're all like different human beings, so they have their own spin.
So over the course of the 8 months, how much do you think your father spent on this online romance?
Well, the Western Union receipt showed over $64,000.
$64,000. Now, was this spending cash to your dad?
No, this was my money.
So this is so yeah.
How did that work at your personal money?
He was
separate from him?
He lived in my house after my brother passed. I let him live in my own house, and he was able to have a power of attorney over my name notarized and able to go to the bank and withdraw whatever funds he wanted. He was able to take credit cards out in my name. And then on top of that, he would, you know, he's my father. I love him. I would, anytime he'd ask me for money, I would give him money. Mm-hmm. I bought him a car. He sold the car.
Wow.
It took me 2 years to catch up to the car after he passed because the guy couldn't register the car because it was still in my company name.
Wow.
I did catch up to the car.
So your dad's funneling your money to Africa. Did he spend any of his own money?
My father didn't have any money.
It was all yours.
Yeah. When my brother passed, it basically took us down to nothing.
Oh,
so he's funneling all of your money, and you have no idea.
No.
And this was all Western Union. Do you think he did? Do you think he sent it any other ways?
There was no evidence of anything else. All the receipts were stuffed in a drawer, in his bedroom, of my house, and he was supposed to be paying a mortgage, and we find out the house is in foreclosure. All these things.
What's your react? I mean, how do you? I don't understand how you deal with something like that. First, you lose your brother. Then you lose your dad, and then you find out this huge financial hit was because of this online scam. I mean, how does the family even react to that? I can't comprehend it.
Well, basically, I am the family. Besides my mother, who she doesn't take any part in it whatsoever after her son. You know, mm-hmm. She minds her business, does her thing. But basically, I am what's left of the family, and it angers me to a point where, you do want to find out. You will go to an extent and try to publicly put it out there to try and find out, maybe research it and find out who it is,
mm-hmm.
who's involved. And I've tried that by going on 2020 and with Sarah Wallace.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get there,
It's gotten me nowhere. It's gotten me here.
Well, I don't know. Is that good? I don't know if
I'm
it's ever
sorry.
Good. I don't know if that's ever good for anybody that wants. I live here, and I don't think it's good.
We repeatedly drive here. We don't.
Well, I don't think it's good when you guys get here either. So.
It's miserable.
I mean, so like, is there grief counseling? I mean, what do you? I mean, this is a huge thing. It's a huge burden for one man to have to deal with. I mean, is there? Have you done anything? You're just trying to still get through this.
I don't even. I wouldn't even know how to comprehend grief counseling. I don't know what I would do as far as therapy. I function every day. I do what I have to do.
Right.
To make sure there's a roof over my mother's head and pay the bills that are in front of us and pay off all the debts that I have incurred, not only through my father but also through my brother. And I just go through it every day.
It's a very point A to point B type of existence. You know, it sounds like you just, it's like every day mm-hmm. you just get into it. I mean, listen, I'm not a doctor or anything, but I think at some point you owe it to yourself to investigate that avenue because you don't want to go the rest of your life. You know, you have your responsibilities, but at some point you deserve more, you know, to be able to enjoy your life and get somewhat of what you had. It's never going to be the same, but get something of what you had before as far as emotionally. I mean, that's on you. Obviously, but that would be from dealing with a lot of victims. Unfortunately, this not obviously what you're going through exactly, but dealing from a lot of people that have been touched by this, you got to get professional counseling. It helps you get through this, deal with the anger, and the anger is real and it's deserved, and then you know, get through the morning and then get to the what do I got to do next, which you're at, and then just you got to feel again, man. It's got to be such a trust violation. I mean. You're doing the right thing by your dad. You turn your back, and then all this happens.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that because every day, you know, I'm either a 1 or a 10. There's no in between for me. I'm either really nice or really mean. You know what I mean? And people have a hard time understanding me, especially if I'm out in public with strangers around me. They don't understand when I turn a switch on, and all of a sudden it's a different person.
Right?
They don't know that mentality. Mm.
Yeah, like I said, all I can do is, because I've dealt with victims, oddly enough, that were scanned by the real Avalas, who were unfortunately suicidal, and I kind of got them through that, and I'm no expert, and I wanted them to talk to an expert, but I kind of got them through to where they're living their life again, thankfully. It's something you got to consider. You know what you need to do, but as somebody's gotten to know you and unfortunately knows the tragedy of this whole type of thing, just my advice to you, but I'll move on. I'll move on. So where was $64,000? $64,000 question. All your money, hard-earned money, spent. Where was that? Where'd that money go?
I assume Africa.
Africa.
Ghana.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff did go to Ghana. Unfortunately, time has passed, and I can't find these receipts. They're somewhere. They'll pop up.
Yeah, you said you wanted to bring them. You couldn't find them.
I even looked again today. I couldn't even find them. I really wanted to bring them again, and because if Sarah Wallace, interview, I had them there, and I put them all out in the open, and now you got to look for them, and you can't find them.
Do you think they were just thrown out? Like,
no.
You have them somewhere.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know how to find me. So if you ever, I told you, if you ever want me to go look it through the stuff, because you know the certain things I can see maybe that they didn't, just because I've been doing this stuff for so long. We tried to go through his dad's computer, like we said, there just wasn't that much there anymore because time passes. So I would really want to see what the conversations were between this Aisha and Peter's.
It wouldn't necessarily
father.
Be downloaded on the computer. It would be
wasn't
on
downloaded.
The server it, of like
it,
Yahoo.
It was
or
Yahoo.
Whatever.
Yeah, they have. He didn't download it. The computer looked like it was almost wiped clean. There was very little on that computer. So I mean, who knows what happened?
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So do you have? I mean, you saw Sarah Wallace went through it. She's from ABC, the local affiliate. Did you see any of the reasons the scammer gave for needing money?
Bottom line was to come to America, from what I saw.
$64,000 to come to America?
Yeah, I guess so.
Better off flying out of space and being Nigerian.
Yeah, I think so.
Cheaper. I mean, I saw the one, which was at the very end, between Al, his father, and the scammer. It was like $1,300 for a visa. And at that point, Al was having trouble getting the money.
Right.
Now, was that because the money in this account had run out?
A lot of the money was gone already, and he would ask me for money, and it was beginning to aggravate me to a point where, it's my father, I love him, but you know what, I knew that he was overindulging, and the doctors had him on all kinds of antipsychotics. He had 3 antipsychotics in his system at the time of death.
Oh my goodness!
So and bottles of more. Pills and prescriptions to be filled in the next week, and he was just flooding himself with pills, and he didn't even know what he was doing anymore. You know, he would just blatantly lie to me. I'd be like, I bought him a car, I sold a car, and I'd be like, where's the car? Oh, it's at the transmission place. I'm like, Dad, I own a shop.
See, that's one of the interesting things. In this particular case, you don't know if it's all the medication that he's on, which make his thinking straight, or what we see a lot of times, he's in the grips of this scam. He's like, you know what, my son's not going to understand why I have to send this woman. You know, he's going to judge me. I don't want to hear that. You know, it's hard to tell because it's such a complicated thing. But it's just heartbreaking.
It could have been after your brother's death that he was just suffering from this underlying chronic depression, and that will completely change a person's personality.
Did he? Yes. Did your father go see a counselor after?
You know, to be honest, my father fell a few times, and he ended up in an institution one time, and he was there for a few weeks, he tried to seek help in the beginning, before he really took to pills and things like that. You know, it was very difficult. It's still difficult to this day. You know,
no, we can hear that in your voice. We this is not an easy interview. This isn't the chuckles we were having before.
No.
So, like we were just talking about, one of the last correspondents was this woman, Aisha, using Juliana Wallace's picture, sending me $1,300 for the visa. Your dad saying, listen, I'm having a hard time getting you this money right now. And she's like, oh, well, hon, you tried your best. And then shortly after this, unfortunately, your father took his life. Do you think that this correspondence was the final straw that broke your father's back?
I think the level of debt that he brought on me, his family, and the fact that he kind of realized, maybe when he wasn't so inundated with pills, he kind of realized that maybe, you know, this is not real, and he brought some real things upon me that we weren't gonna be able to walk out of, and I guess it overwhelmed him to a point where from what I understand, it's one of the hardest things in life to do is take your life. You know, everybody says they're gonna do it, but one of the hardest things to do is actually take your life.
Yeah,
that move.
Just a side story. My father one day lost his job. And he went to, got up one morning, had the dog, and I usually went every Saturday morning, and he told me, no, this time I can't go with him, drove down the street, killed the dog, shot himself. So I have also firsthand experience to suicide as well. And yeah, you can't fathom somebody doing something like that.
A lot of people use the word coward, and it's not.
Although they think
it's a coward way out, it's in their mind, in the person that's taking it, it's a way out.
Yes.
It kills the pain.
Yes.
Do you hold the scammer responsible for your father's death?
I think yeah, absolutely. Okay. I do. I think that if he didn't get involved in this, we may have been able to get him some help otherwise, and I may have had the money to get him some help mm-hmm. otherwise. Mm-hmm. You know, there's you know, who knows? What's done is written in stone, and I can't change it.
Is this getting any easier for you? I mean, just going on? I mean, because I see the pain on your face. I hear the pain in your voice. And this is, what, 6 years ago?
It's 6 years ago. It's 12 years for my brother and 6 years ago for my father.
Is this getting any easier, you know, getting over the passing of your dad?
No.
Well, it almost seems like because you guys weren't able to really talk things through. I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, you know, I understand. You couldn't, but, and also, you know, in my own family, we had, you know, my mom was mentally ill, and so there were things that weren't spoken between us. After she passed, it was so complicated that, you know, you have a hard time letting go and being at peace with their passing when you have unfinished business.
Right.
Do you ever feel like kind of angry with your dad about some of the choices he made?
The funny thing is that the day before he did it, and everybody else, you know, this, it's like coming out of a storybook. You know, we had a big argument on the phone, and I know that he was trying. He made attempts to take his life before. This was like the third time.
Oh.
And you know, he never actually succeeded, obviously. But one of the things I did tell him, and it stays in the back of my mind, is I told him, "You want to kill yourself? Go ahead." And the next day, my neighbors called me and told me that the house was, the cops were all over the house, and that's when I knew he did it.
That cannot get any easier.
No.
You know, that's not your fault.
No, it's not. I absolutely know it's not my fault.
Okay.
You know, it's just a, you know.
It's just a terrible conversation to have.
It's not the last words you want to have with a loved one. But if someone, I've been in that position, if somebody keeps threatening suicide, you come to a point where you're like, I don't know what to do for you anymore. You just keep saying this. It's like, I can't help you.
Yeah, no, I got a friend like that too. It's very, it's hard. All right. So how's it been trying to get out of this financial hole?
Well, I did have to sell my previous business. And that's basically how I did it. When my brother passed, I had opened up a business, and it was semi-successful. I was making a living, and I got it to a point where I was able to sell it, and that's what I did. I sold the business in 2012, and that's how I got out of most of the debt. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I lost the house.
It's a steep price,
and all your credit card companies and creditors come after you, and they're relentless. But what am I going to do?
Unfortunately, we hear that story a lot. Not where it's the family member of a scam victim, but certainly from scam victims, we hear a lot where they were living a very comfortable life, everything was going well, seemed to have everything in the palm of their hands, and then this scam, it just comes and it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
it's their name, but in this case, it's my name.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Like Pip said, like there has to be some anger there. I would hope I wouldn't be angry, but I think I'd probably be a little angry going, how could you do this to me? Forget about what you did to you and that you're not here. I can't even tell you how I feel about what you did to me.
You don't get to yell at them.
Yeah. There's no closure as far as that.
Right. But, at this point, it doesn't make a difference.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. It is what it is.
It's still the same stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I just yell at the creditors when they call me.
Do the creditors have any compassion?
I'll tell you the truth. Some of them do because, it gets real from them when I tell them to Google my name.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to see the reality of what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. Instead of somebody just telling you, oh, it wasn't me. It's real for me because here I was. I never had a credit card in my name before my father,
mm-hmm.
when he was alive. I didn't know he had credit cards in my name, but he lived in my house.
Mm-hmm.
He got my bills. He was able to get my
mail. He was able to get your mail, right, right, right.
So he kept everything a secret to me, mm-hmm. you know, and it's my father. I didn't look over my father's shoulder.
Right.
My father was a very successful man his whole life,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing up in the streets in the Bronx and being successful business owner, many different businesses that mm-hmm. we owned, and there was no reason to look over my father's shoulder. He gave
right.
me everything. Why wouldn't I give him everything?
Right. Why would you need to? Yeah.
Why would I turn around and say, you know, look at anything he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, why would you suspect something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a normal. It's not a normal thing. I mean, these days there's a lot of talk about getting your credit report and checking it out because
right.
there's so much identity fraud. But you're certainly not going to go get a report. I wonder if my parents are ripping me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I mean,
7 years ago wasn't as easy as going on getting an app and mm-hmm. downloading
right.
it. And all of a sudden, like if anybody does anything now, boom, comes up on my phone and I know
right,
right away. You know,
but right.
that, back then. You didn't look at your credit.
No,
you didn't.
No,
you know.
No, it wasn't. You didn't know.
It wasn't a big deal. The only time you knew is when you went to go buy something.
Yeah, that's the only time. Yeah, if you get a car or something like that,
you
get your credit report. See where you're still with the interest rates. Yeah.
Then they give you the bad news. Hey, you didn't pay your student loan, stupid. You know.
So as we touched on briefly, you've dealt with the press shortly after your father passed away. You said local ABC affiliate Sarah. What's his name?
Sarah Wallace.
Sarah Wallace came over, and you were fairly happy with the experience with Sarah. No.
I think she kept everything, as far as I'm concerned, victim-wise. She kept everything really, you know, calm and easy going for me.
Right.
You know, because I got to live through this. So
right.
She didn't do any harm to me. I don't feel she did.
So you were you know, I mean, it's a horrible experience, but as far as her handling of it, you were pretty kosher with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You also were interviewed by ABC's 2020. On the episode featuring Avalos, an episode our show is known for calling BS on.
Yes.
Disappeared the day after we called that. What was your experience like on 2020? I know that it was a little different than your experience with Sarah.
Well, in the beginning, you know, they acted really friendly with me. They came down, you know, they investigated everything. They took the computer as well. They took all the receipts and everything, and they made some empty promises to me.
What did they promise you?
You know, they told me things like they were gonna investigate it. They found somebody in Ghana who was responsible, and they even asked me a crazy question like, "Oh, would you go to Ghana and confront the guy?"
That is a crazy question.
That's dangerous.
I mean, what are you going to train in MMA and have a street fight? It's a crazy, it's a crazy thing.
Well, no, absolutely. Well, they didn't put it like, they were going to put us in the same room together.
Two men walk into a Ghanaian alley.
Only one is coming
fight.
Out.
Yeah.
And I want to believe it's
a man, a yak, and a chicken leave.
Yeah. It would be you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You had the righteous anger on your side.
But
you
in the place where you're in, you're like, oh, wow, I got this chance. I would think that is a huge thing, a huge carrot to dangle in front of somebody that you can meet this person.
Right. And the fact that they brought this girl down from Florida and they made me meet her in a hallway. And
made you meet her in a hallway?
Yeah.
They couldn't even give you a conference room?
No. No, it was in a hallway, you know, and it was like a hollow, apology, you know, for the loss of my father, of course, not for any guilt as to she had any involvement, you know, but, you know, they made a couple of broken promises to me as far as...
All right, I want to get through this piece by piece. First, let's get to the promises.
Yeah.
So going to Ghana to possibly confront, we got a lead. That's one promise. What's another promise?
Another promise was actually getting Western Union involved to... because they said Western Union knew that this money was being sent fraudulently, illegally.
Western Union, no. Western Union says we warn people, we have it on our website, we have it in the places where, you know, the Western Union's stores. Western Union is free and clear on this stuff. Whether we like it or don't like it, that can be discussed, and we have.
Mm-hmm.
For them to promise that is so... absurd. Because what if Western Union can get you back the money? What do you need 2020 for? You could have gotten an attorney.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I just feel that, you know, if you go to send money, you need ID. I mean, I would assume you go to pick up money, you need ID too.
No, it's they have the name, the password, the secret name, and the MTCN number. It's very very easy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's not just Western Union. What's the other one that does it too?
Oh, not
money, big. MoneyGram.
MoneyGram, yeah.
MoneyGram. Yeah. All right, so are you interested in going to Ghana? Do you want to meet the creep that did it? Because we think we know who he is. We think you can get your money back because we got a secret relationship with Western Union that nobody else knows about. Is there anything else?
That I can remember, the other thing was when I was walking out, Chris Cuomo told me, he says, well, if you need anything, call me. And, what am I going to do, get him on the phone and be like, yeah, I want my money back.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing none of these things happened?
Nothing.
Did you ever call and follow up with them?
I never even watched the episode. I saw the previews come on, mm-hmm. and I felt that they represented my father as some sorry person looking for love, and that wasn't my father. That wasn't his personality. He wasn't some desperate soul out there in such a need for love. I think he was just trying to find a way to fill a void in his heart that he lost, that was opened up when he lost his son.
So you would have liked to have seen them touch on the fact that this was a guy who was depressed and was having a tough... You would like to have seen them touch on that he was in a tough spot in his life, which made him vulnerable, and then go into the other stuff. That would have made you a little happier, right?
Right. But they weren't going to touch on the fact of the loss of my brother, because they, at the end of it, they're selling commercials, and they want to use it in their direction,
I just want to touch on those things that they promised. Getting the money back, confronting the scammer, getting the money from Western Union. I think, guys, we would all agree, we've heard these in reload scams.
Yeah.
Yes.
When people promise that we can get your scammer arrested. Now, fortunately, Peter didn't have to spend any money for the privilege of getting jerked around. Mm. But we've seen these promises before, and unfortunately, for the most part, they're unrealistic. Once in a while, it does happen. So that's why I say never say never.
Right.
And
right.
You think, well, I got ABC 2020. I got the mouse behind me, Disney. If anybody could do it, they can. They have enough money. But it's just a real crappy thing to promise these things. If
or
they
even
promised
dangle it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I would say, I go, listen, the chances are we're not going to be able to do this. We're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to do this. If we were going to try, I would say we are going to try, but don't expect anything. We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Like, I would let you know. I mean, because it's really crummy to take somebody who's in this difficult spot and give them false hope. I mean, I hope when I told you what was going to go on here tonight, I didn't give you any false hope. I didn't mean to mislead you and have you think that we were going to be on the main floor of this house. I hope I let you know that this was a basement show.
You mean I'm not getting $100,000 for this show?
No. Sure, Joe's going to pay you.
We told you, stop telling people
Joe's
that.
Joe's taking it out of his Blue Hawk fund. Yeah. He's a superhero, don't you know?
Hold on, I think I have some money in my change purse.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really, really crummy.
At this point, I'll take anything.
No. No. Couch. Now, the other thing was that you touched on, you met Avalos. Now, the first time we saw the episode, which was a year after it aired, we saw it in 2011 because we had already been because a scammer was trying to scam me with her pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fall for it, but that eventually became Belinda. She started as Agnes, but names change. Who cares? Names change, ethnicities change. That's a whole nother story.
It was a long story.
It was a long story. But we saw this, and we went on the air, and we go, there's something not right about this.
Mm. Yeah.
We looked at this girl who we really did not have the research that you saw on our website now. We did not have that research behind us at the time, and it struck the three of us as she just didn't seem to care. Now, I don't know what you do say. I don't know what you say to somebody whose father has killed himself after your pictures were involved. I don't know what the proper response was, yet for the three of us to all agree on that,
mm-hmm.
we agree on nothing. Mm-hmm. But the three of us to all agree on that, we kind of picked up on it. So now, please, if you could go a little bit more, what was your experience like with her?
It was a hollow experience. There was really no conversation between us other than a couple of words. I don't even know if they showed it on.
They showed. They did show. I'll show you the clip later on when we get off the air. If you want to see it.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, you would ask me the other day.
I really tried to, after that show, I tried to bury this. Mm. Let my father rest. He's been through enough.
So why did you seek me out? Because I didn't track you down.
I don't. You want to know something? I don't know, because I turned down an HBO documentary right after it. They wanted to run it for a year, but I didn't want to have to turn the TV on. And see, first of all, when I turn the TV on, I'm just going to touch on this a little bit. There's a Law and Order episode in regards to my brother's death. So
No.
I have to once in a while, accidentally see that on air, and I have no choice. It's public. It's public information. They, you know, even though they change all the names and everything, they change the story. Even the story that took place there, not to get on that subject, but even the story that took place there, you know, I talked to, I have a letter from the girl in question that they said it was over. It's all a farce. It's all made up. It's all the whole New York Magazine cover and every newspaper. It's all media is nothing more than just a show being put on. They take a few points from a
couple highlights, little snippets,
a couple highlights of what the actual thing, and they make their own story.
Well, it's fiction.
Yeah, it is.
It's fiction.
It is absolutely. So the allure, you only know that if you've experienced it.
So the allure of you coming on this show is the fact that you feel nobody's going to listen to this. You feel you will never have to touch on it again because once you go on Davin's Den, nobody listens.
Well, we
got to put that like in a promo.
Never heard from again.
If things start moving around in my house tonight when I go home, I'll know my father heard.
We've talked about that type of stuff on this show as well.
Yes. You know,
but I was it just the fact that you saw that we had done all this research into her?
Well, the only thing that really piqued my attention was in 2013 when the cover of the Daily News came out and I had news reporters calling me in regards to a story of a lawsuit that she was
Match.com.
Right. But when I read the story, there's my name. There's my first name, my last name, my father's story, the whole nine yards, but it's about her pictures being used, you know, and that's what brought my attention back to her. You know, like why, you know, it was she's trying to get a huge monetary, you know.
You felt like she was capitalizing on right. on your loss,
right?
On the loss of your father, the loss of the money, right. and other people
yeah,
too.
That's a natural response to that,
right? Well, you know, when your name's in a story that has nothing to do with you.
The lawsuit was that she was being damaged by this, which in some way, you know, somebody would be damaged by this if people are thinking all these horrible things and you're not really involved.
And if you were not involved for real.
Right. But I think people in your position were supposed to recoup losses as well. Now, this started in November 2013. I remember that moment when I told you guys, hey, you're never going to guess who's on the front page of the Daily News.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
And you're like, what?
What?
And then we hired a PR person, and that didn't work well. But anyway.
No.
But, PU person.
But we had been on to this girl for a while. And Evan Spencer was the attorney for Match.com, started as $1.5 billion. And like I said, singles.net is where your dad found Aisha with the Avalos pictures and everything. Mm-hmm. And they got bought by Match in March of 2014. Lawsuit was still going on. Mm-hmm. I believe by then they had switched to Melissa Midwest. Avalos had dropped out. Wonder why that happened. Anywho. Yeah. So you spoke to Spencer. The way I think it is like, well, you would be a person who should be part of this massive class action lawsuit, one of the nameless people, although you have a story to tell, so maybe your name would be part of it. Somebody that should be part of this, somebody who should recoup at the very least the $60,000, $30,000, $10,000, something of this. Forget about all the emotional damage and the loss of your father, somebody who should be involved in this lawsuit. So you speak to Evan Spencer briefly, who had horrible things to say about yours truly.
Not a big fan of Dad.
Yeah,
not a fan of mine, but there's a lot of people that feel that way. So when do you speak to Evan Spencer?
I had a couple of reporters come by my house due to this story, and I you know, in my mind, I said to myself, well, nobody suffered more losses than me, you know. What happened with my father, and I can't change that, and you know, I'm not looking at somebody to give me $1 million because my father did what he did, but you know, the financial damage and the fact that I lost my house and the fact that I can't have credit and the fact that I have to look at this for the rest of my life every time you put my name in a computer, I felt there should be some kind of monetary compensation to this whole thing. And when I see there's a $1 billion lawsuit because some girl pictures,
I mean, if they're using your name in the story, why hasn't somebody contacted you about, hey, we're going to do part of this lawsuit? Like, you should get an email or something like that. Right. Hey, we're doing the, because I get these things about these class action things. I think I got one for tuna fish, but and Live Nation. But you get these things. but you get these things because they find that you've participated, or in this case, you're a very public story about your family. You would think that you would have been contacted. So you're not contacted. I'm sure you're thinking, why not?
Right.
So you contact Spencer.
Through an email.
Through his AOL account at the time.
Basically with the same thing I told you.
And what does he say to you? What does Evan Spencer say?
I read it briefly, you know, because he kind of shot me down. You know, he was like, oh, well, you know, this really doesn't pertain to you. This is, you know, in regards to...
What's the justification that this doesn't... Does he give you anything?
It was just a brief email right back to me, you know, that if anything came up and he needed me, he would contact me.
He needed you.
He needed you.
What a slimy cretin.
You know, really? Maybe that's not the exact words he used, but that's how I took it. Mm.
You were blown off.
Basically.
Yeah.
I've been blown off this for the last 6 years, 7 years now. You know, everybody just like wants to come to me for a story and then sweeps it under the table. You know, it's like, okay, move on. Well, that's life. You know, we all do move on and we have to move on in life. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not looking to stay here on that day. There's nothing more I want than to put it behind me. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more I want than to put my name in a computer and not see all this tragedy and this... heartache come up, you know, because it kind of haunts you.
It never, as much as we try to seek the press and everything, and I like to investigate, it never struck me that I should contact you about this.
No.
It's just like, out of all the things we've done with Avalos, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but it just never struck me as this is an avenue I should pursue.
No, you know what? It's sort of like all those times that you see on the news where some tragedy happens in a family, somebody dies, and there's the news banging on the door so that we can get a picture of the people crying about their tragedy.
Well, I mean, they have a job
grief
to do, and, Sarah, know, and ABC News covered that when it happened.
I've been there too many times.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, you've already lived through that, and it's like, I'm just saying that we wouldn't be the ones banging on the door saying, could you cry for the camera again? You know, I mean...
I understand that.
No, I hope you would agree that, you know, I didn't twist you and ask you to do this.
Yeah.
No. This is all my doing. You know what it was? I don't know how I came across
porn.
Maybe.
I'm very big on Pornhub, Joe.
You just kill that for me.
It's a tragedy.
I'm never gonna watch.
Now he's gonna sue me for $1.5 billion.
That's another image in his head he can't get rid of.
Kleenex is gonna sue me too.
Enough problems.
Stock's going down.
I actually seen her on Facebook. I've seen her picture there on Facebook, and I would look at her site after the matchcot.com thing. You know, I looked her up on Facebook.
Did you know that it got dismissed? Did
no,
you?
I didn't know. You filled me in on some facts since we've spoken, but I've actually that's how I located her. When I put her name in, kind of, you came up on there.
Oh, lucky me! Shut up, stupid! It's better than the searches you put to find me.
I couldn't find her, but I found your interviews, some of your on phone interviews, recordings, and some of your and all your the comments and everything. And this was at 3:30 in the morning. I just woke up one night and I did this. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through the whole thing from 2011. You've been doing this, and I seen it was still going on 2016. So I said, what do I got to lose? I'm gonna message you and see where it goes. You know.
You don't think Avalos, the real Avalos, is involved in your dad's scam, do you?
You know what? I don't know. From a couple of things I saw, that put a light bulb on in my head when I saw, the fact that you said, she had a boyfriend that was involved in scamming people.
Oh, we think allegedly she did scam people. We think allegedly she's guilty. But, as I said to you, unless I saw something on the computer, which unfortunately we couldn't get into that stuff, I doubt. You know, people want to make it all or nothing. I doubt she was involved with this particular scam. Like, there was pictures of Avalos, obviously, on his dad's computer, which I looked at. Because I wanted to see if it was, like, private stuff. Like, that would be done with, like, a computer camera.
Yes.
Or, like, the stuff that she is everywhere. And, fortunately, it was the stuff that was everywhere.
Yeah.
Because, as much as my opinions on her are not the highest, I would... I allegedly know that she's ruined lives.
Yes.
I would hate to think that she was directly involved in
this particular
case. Right. Now, you said you met Avalos, right?
Yes.
Did she seem generally compassionate?
You know, I don't know her to know if she's generally compassionate or not. She, you know, it was it was all blur to me that day, you know, because it was still everything is still was really fresh to me. You know, that interview was hard for me to do as well.
Right.
Because number one, I kind of feel that I'm putting my father out there in a bad way. My father was a private guy, and he lived a somewhat private life, and you know, he doesn't need to go out like this. You know,
he was a private man who unfortunately came to a very public demise. And
right.
That's very hard to deal with.
You know, bottom line is I'm the one living through this. I'm the only one left, and I'm the one that's living through this, and I'm the one that has to turn around and try to make something out of my life.
Right. And move on from the pain.
Right.
I just wonder. When this first, you know, came up and you found these things, what was your first instinct to, you know, go to the police, or who was your first instinct to go to?
Well, as far
for
as,
help?
As far as the police, you know, everybody turns you away. First of all, you know, my last name carries other issues, you know, due to the stories that are out there with what took place with my brother. So, you know, the police and law enforcement, they look at you like, oh, you know, this is just probably another scam that he's trying to do. He probably knew about it. And if we got to go after anybody, it has to be your father for the fraud and all that. But he's deceased, so there's nobody to convict. So have a nice day. And they wouldn't even give me a report.
Mm. Wow.
And they gave me a report number, but actual report was never, nothing was ever investigated, you know, as far as, you know, and any funds that were exchanged and the bank. And the other thing is that the bank was liable, yes, because they accepted a fraudulent power of attorney. They never met me. I walked into that bank, and that bank manager never saw my face or knew me. Not even my signature was the same. And yet you let this man go into a bank account and remove funds.
Yeah.
You know, just because my father knew the guy.
And you've had your reasons for not going after the bank, which we discussed.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because
it was an option, but there's personal reasons,
okay,
which
that's
we're
fine.
Not. Unless you want to get into, I don't think you
no,
did.
No, I don't. I really
okay,
don't
that's
want to
fine.
Get into that
okay,
part.
But yes, the bank could have been on the hook for some of this.
Some of our listeners were wondering what was the first thing. Like, did you go to law enforcement, or where did you go? Once you discovered that something was amiss, and so that's why I asked you,
a local precinct.
Yeah, and
which is the first place you should go?
Which, we
discussed that last week with Lieutenant Dave, of the Bergenfield Police.
Well, when I tried to go to the bank and confront the bank manager, he basically said, "Well, I'm not gonna. I wanted the records of the bank account, and he wouldn't give me anything because I'm no longer in control of the bank account." It's controlled. It's power of attorney. I don't have any control over my bank account.
And again, there is somebody who could be responsible, but for personal reasons doesn't want to go down that avenue.
Okay.
But the takeaway is, yes, the bank could be on the hook for this. So for people listening, they should know that.
Yeah, if you were in a similar situation, you could go after the bank. It's not your particular situation, Peter, but I mean, like, just, you know.
Well, everybody that's involved has to then be subpoenaed into the courts, and I'm not willing to do that to people that thought they were helping my father.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, no, everybody has to make their own decision in any legal case. How far am I willing to go? Because there are going to be repercussions, and I need to live with that, too.
Right.
You've had so much trauma that, you know what, I understand that you just want to, like, get out of it and go.
Just,
you know,
finish, you know, whatever business
you
have and move on, yeah.
You know, I also, you know, wanted to try and come here and make it clear that, you know, that my father wasn't some poor soul just looking for love. He got caught up in something.
Right.
You know,
Do you think we achieved that tonight?
I think I feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel comfortable.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that we wanted you to be able to be heard.
That was the motivation for doing this. Like I told you, I've spoken
that.
To a lot of scam victims. Haven't spoken to the family members before, but you know, when you told me how you felt about certain aspects of the process after it all went down, I'm like, you know, let's give them a forum. So on that note, before we get out of here, any other comments? Anything else you want to address before we sign off for the evening that we did not touch on?
I feel comfortable on what we spoke about. You know, I feel like I got some things off my chest, and I kind of feel like I can let my father rest a little bit. You know, after this, I kind of feel like he would have looked down at me and said, you know, what are you doing? How are you putting me out there like this? Because that's not who he was. You know, the man didn't have a hair at a place. The man didn't mm-hmm. dress at a place. Everything, he was a good man. You know, he just
right.
took a hard fall.
Can happen to anybody.
Yeah, but you know what? This is a good way to deal with it, because the thing is, out of your control, he was brought out into the public light. And the way that they, you know, portrayed him was not the right way. So now you're getting the story out really more about who your dad really was. If you're
right.
going to tell the story, tell the right story.
All right. Mm. I agree.
Yeah. So you did a good thing.
No. Peter, we appreciate you coming on. We know
yes,
this
thank
was
you very much.
We know this was not easy, but it was very brave, and you did do your dad right tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hope you feel that way. That's the
appreciate
most important
it.
Thing.
That you move on from this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, onward and upward.
And as we've discussed, if you're going to move on, this is the show to go to, because you are not going to hear about this anywhere. let's thank some people for tolerating this and making this happen. do you want to feel safe? Do you want to know that you or a loved one can protect themselves if they are ever attacked? Of course, we all want that. Zombie Martial Arts is now accepting men and women for personal instruction in hand-to-hand combat, and attacks by an assailant with a gun, knife, or any other weapon. Never be a criminal's easy target again. Contact Sensei Russ Ferdico, who's going to be in here in a couple weeks, and learn how to begin protecting yourself and your loved ones immediately. Email him at russferdico@yahoo.com. RussFerdico@yahoo.com. RussFerdico.com. With training from zombie martial arts, you can walk with confidence and not walk dead.
Portobello is Bergen County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscavilla setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. Every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail, and the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, thus ensuring every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch in addition to their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets is your destination for that special event, such as a Sweet 16, wedding, office party, or anything that has to impress. Their professional staff will ensure that your event will not be just an occasion but a memory. Portobello Banquets also hosts the always popular comedy nights throughout the year, which is produced by Side-Splitting Productions owner Davin of Davin's Den, and is a great show coming up this March 22nd. From Comedy Central, Max DiCelli. Experience all that Portobello has to offer at 175 Ramapo Valley Road in Oakland, New Jersey, or learn more by calling 201-337-8990. Getting late. That's 201-337.
Don't blame them for your inability to read. It's not the clock, it's the education.
That's 201-337-8990, or by visiting their website, portobellonj.com. You deserve the best. You deserve Portobello.
Side-Splitting Productions for all your entertainment needs. Stand-up comedians, murder mysteries, kids' parties, characters, impersonators. We got a Donald Trump impersonator. You'd love that. It's going to be huge. It's going to be big. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be
do?
The best. Yeah, anyway, I do. Side-Splitting for besides Joe. That Joe's the Donald Trump whisperer. We have the Donald.
He just wears an orange cat on
By
his
the
head.
Way, I'm doing the show. I'm doing my show on Saturday night. There's a podium on the stage.
Yeah.
I went into Donald Trump. I started promising things and talking like him. I'm like, you know what? This feels pretty good. I could do this.
What happened to me?
It feels great to be the Donald. I don't blame the Donald for being the Donald. The new Trump material, killing, by the way. Anyway, sidesplittingproductions.com, 551-404-3094, 551-404-3094. Pip, anything?
No.
Joe?
I'm going to be at College and Court in Chicopee, Mass. Go to my website or go to Joe Curry Nation, and I will have the information there because my phone just died.
Will Donald Trump be president of Joe Curry Nation?
Yes.
Will there be a wall keeping other comics out?
That's right. It's going to be great.
You're going to love it. It's going to be huge.
Love it.
It's going to be the best Joe Curry Nation ever. Make Joe Curry Nation great again. That's what I say.
That's what I say, too.
Thursday, February 25th, live comedy in Newburgh, New York, at the River Grill, starring Joe Bronzi. For tickets, call 845-561-9444, 845-561-9444. Friday, February 26th, live comedy in Oak Ridge, New Jersey, at Casa Bianca, starring Mike Morse. For tickets, call 973-697-9704, 973-697-9704. We want to thank Peter for coming in and
yes.
sharing his story with us.
Thank
we appreciate that. We want to thank all you guys for listening and hanging out with us, whether it's live or
in the pen
or on podcast. We certainly appreciate it. So If you, next week we're going to have somebody very cool scheduled. It's going to tell us how to keep your children safe online. I was unaware of all the creeps that are targeting children online. Besides, you know, people we know. Real creeps.
Why are you pointing at me?
I was not. I was pointing to Joe.
Oh, this time. You're
pointing at me?
You know why.
I don't.
You'll hear more about it next week.
Repent, damn it.
He smokes.
It's gonna be a very good interview, so
yeah,
we're going to have
good.
That. So, yeah, thank you guys for hanging out. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.